Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Our text this morning is short. I'm stepping out of our study of John's Gospel, and I'm going to share a story this morning, a true story, that a number of people, both staff and students, have asked me to share. And so this is Friday, and we're supposed to be all together, so I'm going to share this morning. But what I'm sharing with you by way of testimony is very much in line with the Word of God. Otherwise, my testimony is false testimony. So, look in your Bibles at Philippians 4:19. Now, this isn't written to just everybody. This is written to God's people, to those who are trusting in Him. Philippians 4:19. This is God's word. "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." To God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. I have seen this over and over and over and over in my life. When I was 7 years old, my family went through a time of real need, real shortage. We didn't have much money before that. But when I was seven and we were living in Charlotte, North Carolina at 5404, originally it was Lawyers Road and it became Central Avenue, as I was living in that house, we ran out of food. I didn't know we'd run out of food because we weren't allowed to go to the refrigerator and see what was there or to go to the pantry and help ourselves. We ate what Mom served, and my mom was a genius at making things last and making them tasty, even when there wasn't a lot to choose from. My parents, early in their marriage, when my dad was pastoring a church in Illinois, had gotten down to where all they had for a month was cornmeal. You try and fix cornmeal every day for 30 days and see how inventive you can be. That's all they had to eat. And they were grateful they had that. But now, I mean, that was before any of their kids were born. Now, they had four kids. One was away at college. One was in high school, one was in junior high, and I was 7 years old in second grade. And the way I found out we didn't have any food was Mom and Dad called us all together, asked to sit in the living room where we always had family devotions each day. And Mother said, "Your dad has something to tell you." And Dad said, "We don't have any food for this meal, for the midday meal." We had breakfast that morning. That was the last of the food. And so he said, "This is the first time we've ever been completely out." And he said, "We're not going to starve." He said, I should receive some money tomorrow and we'll be able to get groceries. And it won't kill us all to miss a couple of meals. But I want us to pray and just thank God that this is the first time in all the years your mother and I have been married that we're out of food. Well, I mean, my stomach hadn't started to rumble yet, and I thought this whole thing was very interesting. But I really hadn't fully processed this new information from Mom and Dad. I think my older siblings were a bit more disturbed than I was. But in our house, we didn't even ask for seconds at the meal because it was very likely that whatever would have been seconds was going to be turned into another meal. You understand? And so if Mom wanted us to be able to have seconds, she'd say, you can have seconds if you'd like. And that was always great news. But my parents led us in prayer. We got down on our knees, and Dad led off, as he usually did, with prayer. And while we were praying, someone knocked at the door. And it was always my job to answer the door or to answer the phone. Any kind of interruption like that, the youngest took care of it. And so I jumped up and went to the door, which was closer than the front pew is to where I'm standing right now. Okay? Wasn't a huge house. So I'm in the living room. Someone knocks at the door. Immediately, I jump to my feet and go to the door, and there's nobody there. That was peculiar. The others are still on their knees in the living room praying. I can see them from where I am. But there's nobody at the front door. But there's this great big roasting pan. And I opened the door and I reached down and the pan was hot. And so I went and I got my mom. Mom didn't seem to mind handling hot things. It had a fully cooked ham with a bunch of vegetables around, potatoes and carrots and things I didn't like. And but it was a meal. It was a feast. It was not just enough for that midday meal, but it was enough to carry us well into the next couple of days. I mean, it was wonderful. And I was amazed. I looked, when I didn't see anyone at the door, I looked down the sidewalk to the driveway and on the lawn, and there was no one around. We lived outside the city limits, and I could see the road in front of our house. There was nobody there. There was no vehicle, no pedestrian, certainly not somebody walking away relieved to have carried a roasting pan all that way and set it down. I have no doubt whatsoever that that was brought by an angel of God. Can't prove it, but I'm confident that regardless of the means that God used to get it onto the porch and knock on the door, I know where that food came from. It was from God. It was God supplying all of our needs. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, that said, I want to testify further. God not only meets our needs, but God knows our needs ahead of time. And that, in fact, is the main point today. Your Father knows what you need before you ask.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Your Father knows what you need before you ask. That, in fact, is a quote from Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. When Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things he tells them is not to keep on babbling like the pagans do, but to pray simple prayers, just honest prayers to God, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. And he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That was our text, Philippians 4:19. And the result is, to God, our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I want to tell you about a few times God answered prayer and met needs for me and even went beyond what I actually needed and gave me what I wanted. Okay? And he's done it over and over and over and over and over. Now, Pastor Wood, are you saying every time you pray, you get whatever you want? Absolutely not. And I thank God for that, because sometimes the things that I would want and ask for are not the things that I actually need, and they're not the things that would actually be best for me. I want to tell you, because people have asked me to, about one of the things God gave me. I could just do a whole 30 minutes on shoe wear or footwear, okay? Because I've got so many testimonies. God gave me a pair of Voss hiking boots when I was in college. I prayed for them. I had to work for them. But God gave me the job so that I could earn the exact amount of money I needed for Voss hiking boots. I wanted a pair of Sperry topsiders when Mrs. Wood and I were newlyweds. I really wanted those shoes. I also wanted a pair of khaki pants. And I added up how much it was for the shoes, $38. How much it was for the pants, $12. And so I've got $12 pants and $38 shoes. And God gave me $50. Mrs. Wood and I held hands and prayed and said, Lord, you promised you'd meet all of our needs. And I know I don't have to have that particular brand of shoe, but it would really mean a lot to me if I could have them. And I prayed and God gave me $50, which is exactly what I needed in order to get those things. But this morning, I've come prepared to share with you the purple sneaker story. When I was in college, I was insecure about my lack of athletic prowess, and I tried to camouflage it by always having good-looking athletic shoes. The best athletic shoes you could get at the time were the ones made of leather. They didn't have all the synthetic fabrics. Nike didn't exist. Adidas didn't exist. Puma didn't exist. But I got some leather shoes before I started college so that I could wear them in the PE classes and any other situation where I needed to look like I might have game. And so I wore those other leather shoes not only my freshman year, my sophomore year, but I was wearing them my junior year. And when I went back to my room after a particularly vigorous game of badminton or something, we had to take phys ed in order to graduate from Gordon College. And you had to have athletic shoes in order to participate in physical education. So I did have to have athletic shoes. But I went back and lazily reached down. I was going to get in the shower, reached down, took the bottom of the shoe to pull it off without bothering to untie it. But when I went to do this and pulled it like that, the bottom of the shoe separated from the upper. I mean, it just ripped apart because my feet had caused it to decay. And so it just totally separated, and I thought, oh, no. So I had to untie that shoe, and then I went to pull off the other, and it did the same thing. It was like planned obsolescence. They had this many miles, and then you get a blowout. So I've now got two useless sneakers and no other backup athletic shoes. I wasn't that athletic, I told you. So I just had the one pair that I had made last for over 2 years, okay? Now I have none, and I have to have some kind of athletic shoes by the following Tuesday. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, you know I have to have sneakers. You know, they called them sneakers back then because you could go around quietly in them, see, because they had rubber soles. They were not the clunkers that we wore most of the time. Said, you know I have to have sneakers because I've got to be able to graduate. I have to take this phys ed course. Therefore, I've got to have sneakers. And I need a new pair because these are totally destroyed. And so I know that you will provide that for me because you have promised. But Lord, what would mean so much to me is if I could have a pair of leather Converse All-Stars. Because that was the in shoe. That was it. If you got Converse All-Stars, you had a good shoe. If you got leather Converse All-Stars, you had the premium shoe. You had the shoe that everybody else wanted. And I felt like if I messed up on the court, people would just assume I was having a bad day, because after all, look at his shoes. He knows his game. Okay? This was all about protecting my pride and self-image, my vanity. Shame on me. Stupid me. But my Heavenly Father loves me in spite of my sin, in spite of my foolishness. And when I prayed, I said, Lord, you know I do not have enough money to buy a pair of these shoes. Literally, my bank account did not have enough money in it to pay for a pair of Converse All-Stars. They were, as I recall, about $24. Okay, I didn't have that much money. I may have had, I don't know, 18. I sure didn't have enough for that. And I said, so they don't sell these on campus. So I will need a ride to the mall and some more money from somewhere. I'd seen God provide for me with other shoes and with money. So Lord, please, you said in your word that you love to give good gifts to your children. If you would please give me a pair of leather Converse All-Stars, I will give you all the praise. That was my prayer. And I went, I got my shower, went to dinner, went to bed that night, got up the next day, went down to check the mail, and I heard some guys behind me saying, look at that, leather Converse All-Stars for sale. I was stunned. I looked around. They're standing between me and a handmade sign. And they said, oh, wrong size. Turned and walked away. Well, I looked at the sign that they had been reading, and it said, brand new leather Converse All-Stars for sale. Only worn 1/2 hour. Size 8.5D. That used to be my size. I read the sign and it said, if interested, contact box thus and such. So I did. I put a note in that box and I said, you know, I want the shoes. And I got a note back later that day. It said, the shoes are yours. The price, by the way, was $9. $9! $9 for shoes that had been at least 24 bucks. $9, only worn 1/2 hour. There was only one troubling thing on the sign, and that is it said color, purple. This is before the book and the movie and all that, okay? So I'm thinking, purple, that can't be right. Maybe navy blue. I could go with navy blue. But purple, why would they even make purple sneakers? I mean, you know, that's got to be a mistake. So anyway, the note that said the shoes are yours said, come to Shepherd Hall, ask for Joe Snook, J-O-E-S-N-O-O-K. And I thought, that's a made-up name. And there is no Joe Snook. Certainly not living in the women's dorm, okay? So this can't be real. I mean, the whole idea of purple shoes, brand new, $9. So anyway, I couldn't resist going to the dorm. I thought out what's going to happen when I get there. I'm going to walk in. Some girl behind the counter is going to say, "May I help you?" And I'm going to say, "Yes, I'm looking for Joe Snook." And everybody in the room is going to burst out laughing because they'll know that I was the one who got punked. But I went to Shepherd Hall, walked in. Young lady behind the counter says, "May I help you?" I said, "Yes, I'm looking for Joe Snook." And she said, "Okay, just a minute." And she calls upstairs on the intercom and says, "Joellen, there's someone here to see you." Oh, J-O-E Snook. Okay, Joellen Snook. That still sounds like a funny name, but it's better. And so Joellen came down. She was maybe a little taller than me. And she was actually, unbeknownst to me, our star basketball player on the women's basketball team at Gordon College back then. If I had cared enough to go see women's basketball, then, you know, I would have known. Oh, yes, Joellen. Wow. Okay. So I didn't even go see the men's basketball, but that's because I'm completely non-athletic, as I mentioned earlier. Did I mention that? So I was pleased to see she was a real person, and she said, you know, what is it? I said, "I'm Jim Wood. I'm here about the shoes." And she said, "Oh, okay, I'll go get them." So she brings them down, and I'm thinking, Navy, let them be Navy. Let them be Navy. You may be able to see, even from the back row, these are not Navy. They never were Navy. They've always been purple. They've somewhat faded now. If you look at the tongue of the shoe, you will see the original color purple of those shoes. They are purple, loudly purple, shouting purple every step you take. And so I said to her, "Why are you selling them?" She said, "That's not really my size." And I said, "Oh, did somebody give them to you?" She said, "No, I bought them." I said, "Well, why did you buy them if they're not your size? Did you just like the color?" She said, "No, I hate the color." I said, "Well, why did you buy them then?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, when did you buy them?" She said, "Last spring." This is now fall. She says, "Last spring." And she said, "They've just been sitting in my closet. And the other day, I was doing my math homework, and I suddenly had this thought, you need to sell those shoes." I said, "What time was that?" Well, as you may have guessed, it was right when I was praying. It was right when I was praying, right before supper there at Gordon College. So I said, "Well, you know, I want the shoes. They're my size, but, you know, I really hate the color." She said, "Yeah, I understand. How about I knock a dollar off? You can have them for $8. You say, "So God provided you with a pair of shoes that were exactly what you asked for, except you forgot to ask for the color." And I, yeah, but that's not all. Every single time I ever wore these shoes, and I had to wear them a lot, at least one person would ask me that day when I had those shoes on, "What's the deal with those shoes? Where'd you get those shoes? How did you choose purple?" And I would tell them that purple is the color of royalty, and my father is the king. And I didn't choose purple for my shoes. God did, and I would tell them the story. I got to share the story of the purple sneakers, I don't know, hundreds of times. Because every time I wore those shoes, God opened the door for me to tell about how he meets my needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Trust him. He's real, and he has a sense of humor. He knew I wanted to look cool, and God thought, "You need something else. You need a little taste of humility. You need to realize it's not about what people think of you. It's about how they see me. I want you to see him. I want you to trust him."
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.